Trouble at the banks means trouble for the whole economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The debt crisis in Europe has driven some European bank stocks lower again this morning. Some of those banks have seen their shares drop 50% in just a couple months. And that drop in confidence means they'll add more trouble to European economies by laying off workers. If that vicious cycle sounds familiar, it's because it's happening right here in the U.S. as well. Yesterday, Bank of America confirmed that it will cut 30,000 jobs in an effort to shore up its finances. For more on B of A's trouble, we're joined in the studio by Paul Barrett, who interviewed the company's CEO for this week's cover story in Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. Paul Barrett, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, why are the problems at Bank of America so much worse than the problems at the other big banks?
Bank of America has two distinctive problems. One is Countrywide Financial, the subprime mortgage factory that it bought in 2008. There's tremendous legal uncertainty surrounding the many, many lawsuits that have been filed against Countrywide and against Bank of America, and the market simply doesn't understand what the potential liability is. Uncertainty is something the market hates. Second thing is Bank of America is bigger and more intertwined with the American economy than any of its rivals. So it is basically a mirror of the American economy, and as long as unemployment is stuck above 9% and the housing market is depressed, Bank of America will struggle.
Well, you spoke with the CEO, Brian Moynihan. What is he feeling about all of this?
Well, Moynihan believes that he came in with a clear plan to take the bank that he inherited and shrink it down, make it much more focused on its consumers, on companies, and on institutional investors. So he expresses a lot of confidence. The problem is that he's untested as a CEO. He was kind of a battlefield promotion in crisis in late 2009, and Wall Street has expressed in the way that it does uncertainty about whether he has the talent to lead the bank out of trouble.
Well, do you think, after having met with him, that he's got what it takes to get this bank back on its footing?
Moynihan is probably underestimated in terms of his skill and understanding. I think he's a very solid operations person. The reason he may be underestimated is he's simply not that good at communicating. He has a distinct lack of public charisma. And while people tend to discount that kind of thing, in his case, it actually has been very important. He has been unable to persuade Wall Street that the bank is on the right track. So it's a situation where leadership and style actually are playing an important role.
That's Paul Barrett, who interviewed Brian Moynihan, and he's got the cover story in this week's Bloomberg Business Week. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Today, Australia's parliament introduced a plan to price greenhouse gas emissions. Critics are worried about what it'll do to the cost of living down under. But as Stuart Cohen reports now from Sydney, it could get the ball rolling for other countries that want to limit carbon emissions.
Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard's ambitious plan would put a price of $23 per metric ton on greenhouse gas emissions. The country's 500 biggest polluting companies would foot the bill and give much of the money to individuals to compensate for higher costs of energy and consumer goods. After 3 years, the plan would move to a cap-and-trade system, similar to the one that failed in the U.S. last year. Professor Natalie Stoyanoff of the University of Technology in Sydney says Australia's plan may spur other countries to limit carbon emissions.
Well, I certainly think it would have an impact. We do have a bit of clout in Southeast Asia and the Pacific generally. And I think we're already seeing nations thinking about what they can do to improve things.
The U.S. and Australia typically have close ties, but Professor Stoyanoff says whether this will give a jumpstart to American efforts to price carbon emissions depends on who's living in the White House in 2 years' time. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed around the world this morning. They're actually starting to tick up a little bit in Europe, in London, up 0.2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished up 68 points at 11,061.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
At a conference today in California, Microsoft is expected to give developers a sneak peek of its latest operating system. The company is hoping the new system with the flashy working title Windows 8 will get developers excited enough to keep pumping out applications for it. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Microsoft Windows may run on around 90% of computers, but the PC has become kind of boring.
Microsoft Windows is your father's Oldsmobile.
Tech analyst Laura DiDio says Microsoft's newest operating system is expected to rev up faster and work across multiple devices.
Now they're saying, look, if you want to run Windows on a tablet
or on a smartphone,
whatever you want, we're there for you.
Kurt Scharf of consulting group Parks Associates says that consistency across platforms is attractive to developers who want
the ability to write an application once and then it gets deployed across PC, tablet, and smartphone,
which Microsoft can then use to lure consumers with potentially cool new applications for tablets and smartphones. Scharf says it's unlikely Microsoft will overtake Apple's dominance in mobile, but
as a strong number two, I think that's something to be proud of.
There are estimates that sales of mobile devices will triple over the next few years. So maybe it is something to be proud of. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, last week, a major traffic light went out in South Pasadena, California, and a resident named Alan Ehrlich answered the call. He just happened to have with him a bright orange T-shirt and a couple of orange safety flags, because who doesn't keep those things handy at all times? And he got out into the intersection and started directing traffic. Well, apparently he was able to clear up a backup in about 10 minutes, and then the police arrived and gave him a ticket. Though something tells me he's going to keep those orange flags in the back seat of his car. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you could save a little cash by driving a little differently, would you?
Obviously, it's a little bit annoying at times, I know, but you get used to it. When you have to fill up, you know, one less time a month, you know, you start to think, well, this might be worth it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's called hypermiling, but don't forget that annoying part. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.